Sir Charles kept very little staff at Baskerville Hall. Just a groom, a gardener, a scullery maid, and the butler, Mr. Barrymore, as well as his wife, who serves as housekeeper and cook. On the morning of 27 July, the Barrymores missed Sir Charles at breakfast. They went to look in on him and found his bed unslept. Frantically, the staff searched the house, then the grounds. That's where they found him. Behind Baskerville Hall, there is a yew alley, which stretches out across the moor to the guest house. Sir Charles had gone out for a walk, quite late at night. We know because Barrymore looked in at 9:30 the previous evening to see if his master wanted anything before he retired. Sir Charles must have dressed himself and gone out sometime after that.
Which you say was quite out of the ordinary for him.
Unaccountable. His fear of the hound was palpable, Dr. Watson. He did not like to go out alone upon the moor, even in daylight. Why he should brave it at night, alone, unbeknownst to his staff, is quite beyond my wit.
Mysterious already.
And it only gets more so. For most of the length of the yew alley, the moor is obscured by hedges. Yet Sir Charles stood at the one spot where the moor he feared was most visible, and where he was most exposed, at the single gate that leads out from the alley upon the moor.
And how do you know this?
From his footprints, Dr. Watson. The gravel near the gate shows that he must have waited there, pacing, for quite some time. The butts of two of Sir Charles's cigars were there, with corresponding piles of ash upon the stone wall near the gate.
I recoiled slightly. Holmes had formidable mystic powers. Some of our friends were monsters in their own right. Myself, I only had the powers of deduction and logic I'd learned from medicine and repurposed for crime. Now here was another doctor, demonstrating to me that he'd already been over the scene and produced deductions that were at least the equal of any I might have made. I blushed, and the feeling I might not have much to offer began to creep into my mind.
And here is another peculiar fact. Just before he expired, Sir Charles was running. One can easily tell, for the footprints were deeper, more widely spaced, and made with only the toes of his feet. To run for help might be expected, whether he were fleeing a thing that frightened him, or if he felt the onset of a heart attack. Yet his footsteps did not lead back towards Baskerville Hall, but away down the yew alley. How do you account for it, Dr. Watson?
Only two possibilities suggest themselves. Either something prevented his flight back to the hall, or else he was scared beyond the capacity to make a sound decision.
Yes! Yes, I thought so too. And of course, the heart attack would seem to be the most likely cause of his fright, but there is evidence of another. I cannot prove that the hound was present that night, but I can show you where it came through the wall, if it were.
The gate, one presumes.
No, sir. The wall, just next to the gate.
It jumped over?
Ha! It melted through. Beside the gate is a blackened gap in the wall. The stone is quite melted, yet there is no trace of damage upon the gravel path or on the moor beyond the wall.
But such a quantity of heat must have left some mark. It must have come from a potent source. Surely the vegetation of the moor and the wood of the gate must have succumbed long before the stone wall, eh?
One would think. I cannot explain the thing, merely recount what I saw. You can see it yourself, if you please.
What do you make of this case, Holmes?
What do I make of it? Only that this story is not credible. It is incredible, incongruous, ludicrous, risible.
I stared at my friend with growing suspicion. Those who were not well acquainted with Holmes might have let the tirade pass. But I knew of one verbal peculiarity that most men did not. When Holmes lied, he had the tendency to sound like a thesaurus. What his reasons for discrediting Mortimer's story might be, I could not guess. But I grew ever more certain that Holmes knew more about the matter than he was letting on.
Now, I do not say that it is the Hound of the Baskervilles who has done this thing, not with certainty. But what else could it be? The legend is pernicious, Mr. Holmes. And over the last 3 years it has only grown. Ask any of the local shepherds. Most of them claim to have heard the baying of the hound by night, and a few of them claim to have seen it. Once this legend had faded to near obscurity, but nowadays the taverns are buzzing with the talk of it.
And so what began as a centuries-old myth has devolved into a tavern tale. Your story is ridiculous, sir. Preposterous, absurd, unbelievable, far-fetched, outlandish. Have I tried risible yet?